Welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week is Dr. Harold Chung Loy, General Surgeon at JFK University Medical Center. Good morning, Doctor.
Hey, good morning, Joel. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you for asking, and thanks for being on the program. We're going to cover a bunch of stuff today. We'll be talking surgery, all types of surgery, but more specifically, and we're going to start here with minimally invasive surgery. I understand that is your specialty, so let's start with that, otherwise known as MIS.
That's correct. Yep. So basically, our approach to surgery these days, and not just myself, but I think the surgical community overall, is if we really look at surgery and what we do as surgeons is we basically do controlled trauma to the human body. You know, no one comes to a general surgeon and say, I want surgery, unless it's to fix a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I'd say in the last 30, 40 years, we have seen an evolution of surgery where when I was doing my training in the city, we were using scalpels and really opening up an abdominal cavity to fix an abdominal problem.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some bright guys around the world who were experimenting with doing things through small holes, you know, the laparoscope.
Right.
And, you know, that started in France. One of our surgeons down in Tennessee started experimenting and started taking out gallbladders through small incisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with all new technologies, you know, there's an element of doubt. You know, as surgeons, we've been doing things a certain way for many years. It wasn't broken. Why mess with it? But this guy had some great results. And a group of surgeons actually went down to visit with him. And we would watch him do these procedures. And he said, wow, it can be done. And this was the real revolution that started laparoscopic surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So this was in the early 90s. And it really started in the community hospitals. You know, we kind of look at the medical centers as the ivory towers. And then we have where, you know, the guys who write the books. But then there are the community surgeons who they spend most of their times in the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're on the front line, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Do they still use scalpels nowadays? Because with the laparoscopic, it's just a tiny incision, right?
Right. Yeah, we still use scalpel because that's our fail-safe. You know, not everyone is a candidate for minimally invasive surgery or laparoscopic surgery.
I see. Okay.
So, yeah, you know, and there's a side note to that in that the new surgeons coming out nowadays, they don't see open surgery often, so one of our challenges as older surgeons is to try to expose the younger surgeons to open surgery, because at some point in time, you may have to resort to that.
You want to make sure they're able to do it.
Absolutely.
Right. But
absolutely.
For the most part, we moved into laparoscopic, the robotic surgeries. And what are the benefits over the more invasive surgeries that would not fall into this category? What are some of the benefits?
Yeah, so when you have less trauma to the body, you know, there is several advantages. Number one, less pain.
That's right? Good.
Patients, yeah, and it just so happens that with the with the buildup of minimally invasive surgery, we're facing with this narcotic epidemic, and what minimally invasive surgery is allowed us to do as surgeons is really cut back on the use of narcotic pain mm-hmm. medication. I mean, it couldn't come at a better time.
Right.
So less pain, shorter length of stay. That's important in the economics of medicine. You know, a hospital
sure.
bed is about $1,500 per night. you know, years ago, someone having their gallbladder would come into the hospital, spend a few days in the hospital. Nowadays, it's an outpatient procedure for the most part. And because of the technology, you know, that has evolved, either with the robot or with the laparoscope, we're seeing fewer complications. And again, that falls into good patient care, less costs, and I guess for the general public, it leads to a greater patient satisfaction in their overall surgical experience.
Right.
So it's really as evolved immensely.
So what would you say is the most common procedure that you do laparoscopically?
Probably gallbladders and hernias. If we take all hernias, you know, as a group, probably more hernias, and then a sizable amount of gallbladder surgery. We do a lot of appendectomies. We take care of a lot of kids over at JFK Medical Center. And, you know, we do 99% of the little kids laparoscopically. And, you know, and the kids are amazing. You know, you fix their appendix and, you know, you can tell that they're doing well because kids being kids, they go and they do their things and mm-hmm. you know they're doing well. So that has been a great, great advancement.
Yeah,
and we do colon surgeries also, minimally invasively.
Yeah, the kids they'll bounce right back, and especially if you know the healing time is so much shorter, and as you know we've touched on a couple of times, the very small incision, the faster healing, they can get up and go much quicker. Now you mentioned that. It could be an outpatient procedure, for instance, the gallbladder. Could you explain how I'm guessing that the incision is like a couple of centimeters. How do you remove something like that with such a small incision?
Yeah. So what I tell my patients is the largest incision you will have is the incision that removes the gallbladder from your abdominal cavity. And generally, our incision ranges from 5 millimeters, which is maybe a quarter of an inch. When we use the robot, mm-hmm. the incision is 8 millimeters, which is half of an inch. And but if someone comes in, you know, and they present to the operating room with a stone in their gallbladder that's 2 inches. Well, they're going to have basically a 2-inch incision to remove it. Yeah.
And, I've heard things, maybe it's not with the gallbladder, but the robotics destroy whatever they're removing, for lack of a better term, to make it easier to remove from the body. Is that accurate?
In some instances, I know several years ago, a lot of the gynecologists were basically pulverizing the specimens, you know, if they did a hysterectomy, mm-hmm. and so that it becomes easier to extract from the peritoneal cavity. We don't generally do that. Even when we take out a part of a colon, we extend the incision to allow removal of the tissues mm-hmm. in its normal anatomical configuration, because we need to have that specimen go to the lab and have the pathologist look at that specimen to make sure that nothing is missed. So we try not to pulverize it to remove it.
Of course, pulverize, much better word than my word. So you say the cut can be anywhere, the incision anywhere from 5 millimeters up to say 4 inches, depending on the size. What what's this? The healing is, does it go away completely, or is there a significant scar there? I would think that with technology today, even if it is a larger incision, the scar isn't all that noticeable.
Yes, and we have you know, the everyone heals with a scar. The trick is to put it in a position where it's not very noticeable. So you know, if we have to make a 4-inch incision to make sure we do a complete and good job, we will put it in a position where, it's not very noticeable. We also have opportunities to remove specimens through what we call natural orifice, which is a fascinating technique where specimens are removed either orally or through the lower GI tract, for example, the rectum, or even transvaginal. And there are special instances where that can be done. So essentially, the patient does not have much of a visible scar on their abdomen.
Right, they wouldn't have anything because there wouldn't be. You wouldn't be. Is there any cutting involved with that?
Yes, a small incision to get the instruments inside the abdomen.
Okay.
But the cutting really is hidden within the intestinal tract.
Right, but I mean, when you of the other ways that you just described, is there any cutting there, or there isn't because you're using the orifice that you mentioned?
Yes, you do have to make an incision in that particular tube that goes to that orifice, and then you really suture it closed. But this is all internal, so there is an incision, but it's well hidden.
And how often does that happen?
In some of my colleagues around the country, that they are pushing that approach where it is feasible, but it all depends on what the patient brings to the table. It's not for everyone.
So we've gone from years ago when we just cut a patient open, a large opening to operate, and now we're down to laparoscopically. But now, and this I've never heard of this, to be honest with you. And I do the show; I talk with doctors all the time. I've never heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
What's the term? Orifice removal?
It's natural orifice extraction.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's fascinating.
It is. We just keep coming along with different ways to get things done medically, and it's amazing every time. Talking with Dr. Harold Chung Loy, general surgeon at JFK University Medical Center. I should get the name Harold, right? It's my father's name. So JFK, highly rated, well respected, awesome community hospital, and you're there. How long have you been at JFK?
Oh man, I didn't want to give away my age.
You don't have to answer that.
I started in '86.
Okay, wow, you've been there a long time. And I was checking you out online. So you've been there for so long, yet your ratings are all top notch. I just thought I was mentioning that. A quick Google search of you showed us that. Can we talk about how we've transformed at JFK, how the transformation towards the major surgical academic medical center?
Yes. It really is an exciting time. I really envy the young guys. We have a director of surgery. And JFK is part of the central region of Hackensack Medical Center. And we have a regional director by the name of Faiz Bora, Bhora.
Yeah, I've spoken with him.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Yeah.
The guy is well accomplished. He's top in his field. He's a thoracic surgeon with a special interest in the airway of the lungs. And he has a vision to transform the surgical department at JFK into a regional tertiary center.
Mm-hmm.
He has now recruited some rather accomplished surgeons mostly from the tri-state area, and has now built a department of thoracic surgery. Where, that's really his specialty, where he is now embarked on doing very advanced thoracic surgery and minimally invasively. In addition, he has also recruited surgical oncologists. And the idea is JFK is being, should I say, transformed from a community center into an academic center. So not only are we going to have very you know, well-accomplished surgeons, but we're going to cover the vast majority of the surgical specialties. So we will have surgical oncologists. We don't have to send our complex oncological patients anywhere. We're going to have a head and neck ENT advanced surgical program. And along with that, he has expanded our colorectal surgery program, where we are having a highly trained fellow from Presbyterian who will be head of our colorectal department. And in addition, we will continue to offer things like high quality vascular care and orthopedics and urological services. So we're very excited about the potential as we gear up to really now bring in residents and medical students.
Right.
This is part of the overall development of the academic program, since Hackensack now has its own medical school. So it's really, and it's fertile ground. With the vision, the potential is just awesome.
What are some of the, let's say, cutting edge advances or things that you see now that maybe you never dreamed of when you started? Or maybe you did dream of it, but you didn't know when it was going to come about. Let me put it this way. Is there anything that you never thought was going to happen and now it's the reality and you're just like, and you know, when it started coming about, you were just in awe and excited?
Well, for the sake of transparency and full disclosure, I wasn't the big robotic advocate when it first came out. Because a lot of us who trained doing laparoscopic surgery were really doing pretty good. So a lot of my contemporaries, you know, our position was, hey, we're doing great laparoscopic surgery. We don't need a robot.
Mm-hmm.
However, some of the younger guys, and I have to give kudos to the younger generation, they were really hyped up about it. And this is the old saying, seeing is believing. Oh, man. When I sat in front of that robot drill and I saw the magnification, I saw the clarity, I was blown away. I said, wow. Yes, robotic surgery, and it's still in evolution. I can see one day, someone in a faraway room behind a console operating on someone thousands of miles away. It just blows your mind.
I guess that kind of would be possible now, but it's not necessary. Would you say
right? It is. Yeah, I think it is in the realm of possibility currently. Yeah. Can you imagine the remote areas around the world where they have no specialists? If you have technicians who can set up that patient for an operation and have the specialist thousands of miles away actually doing the procedure, yes, it is doable.
Yeah.
Doable.
So I guess we should explain for those who are not aware, and we've talked about this on this program in the past, but I just want to clarify that when you say robotic surgery, it's not a robot walking into the room and doing the surgery. Everything is controlled by the doctor.
Right. I kid around with my patients when I mention robotic surgery, and they look at me and say, "Well, what will you be doing?" One has to break it down that you basically, position the instruments, and it's connected to a console, and the surgeon sits in a console, looking into a screen. And that camera is at the bedside. So you can actually see what's going on inside that body cavity. And by use of the arms, you can then move the instruments. So the surgeon is actually doing the operation. One of the neat little advantage of doing robotic surgery is if there's a surgeon who has any tremors, the robot neutralizes that.
Right. that would extend the career of, not that that's the ultimate goal, but that would extend the career of a surgeon. Especially,
I'm giving a thumbs up on that comment. Yes.
Especially for, you know, extremely delicate surgeries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It's there are guys who are peeling grapes using the robots, you know, just to demonstrate the dexterity. You know, it does not have the haptics, however, which is a sensation that one gets using their hand touching something. But according to the robotic guys, they're working on that.
Yeah, and to go back to when we talked about how small the incision is, as little as 5 millimeters, and you're talking about arms and instruments all going into this small incision to perform the operation.
Yeah, well, there are usually several incisions. The robot that we now use has 4 arms.
Mm-hmm.
One is dedicated to the camera, and 3 other arms that has instrumentation. And, you know, you can switch between those 3 arms. We have 2 hands, 3 arms working, but there is a mechanism that we use her foot to switch between 1 or 2 arms. So, you know, when I was learning robotic surgery, the fellow who was instructing me said, if you know how to drive a stick shift,
right,
you know, you have a leg up on doing robotic surgery because you're using your feet also during the surgery.
Right.
So it's amazing what we can do with the robot with our feet actually being part of the operation.
Just don't pop the clutch.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, again, we're talking with Dr. Harold Chung Loy, General Surgeon, JFK University Medical Center. Tell me about, you were talking about when you first started using robotics. Think back to then and now, just the advances there in that short period of time.
Well, you know, I think since then they have increased the visual acuity. The advances is actually where they are now. The advantage is more with the surgeons and what the surgeons are willing to tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing major surgeries robotically, and what we're seeing is that it's being done so much more efficiently as the surgeons get more experience. I think one of the thing is not so much the advances with the technology, because they're still working on that. But I think it's the application that we have seen tremendous growth on. You know, as an example, you know, during COVID, when patients didn't want to stay in the hospital, but they needed surgery, there were surgeons who were doing colon resections and sending their patients home the same day, and they did okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as we test the limits, we're starting to see what can be, which with the robot, just it just creates that opportunity, you know. So amazing advancement with the technology.
All right, we will leave it right there. Dr. Harold Chung Loy, General Surgeon, JFK University Medical Center, minimally invasive surgeon as well. Thank you so much for being on the program.
I appreciate it, Joel. So if you're in the area, come by sometimes. We'll show you the robot.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Not an actual surgery, though.
Well, you know.
You won't. I don't know.
Okay.
I think I can handle it. We'll give it a shot. Thanks,
yeah.
Doctor.
Okay. You have a good day, Joe.
You too. For more information, go to jfkmc.org. And for a podcast of this show, go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we'll talk next week.